Think Again with Borderlands Cooperative.
Join us for critical conversations about things that matter.
Every Friday at 10 a.m. on 3CR Community Radio, 855 AM on your dial.
And 3CR Digital, streaming live at 3cr.org.au.
So together, let's think again about important matters affecting us, like economics,
politics,
education,
health,
climate,
and what we can do about it all. Welcome to Think Again, a program presented to you by Borderlands Cooperative, an organization working for social change for, meanwhile, 28 years. Yes, in 9 days, we will reach our 28th birthday. Think Again is broadcasted from the 3CR studio on the unceded lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. I am Jacques Boulet, and I'm on my own today, as Jennifer has a day off and our planned interview partner had to cancel unexpectedly in the middle of the week. So I decided to have a look at the growing pile of news bits from Palestine, which on the one hand seems to be seemingly having been dropped as newsworthy by the regular news media since Donald Trump attempted to make the world believe that Gaza was now not a problem anymore, as he and the merciful US were going to take care of it all. But we probably do know better, because the alternative news media and news sources which we have relied on, they continued to pile up reports of what has been continuing to go on both in Gaza and in the West Bank, behind that artificial but really very effective veil of imposed and journalistically maintained media silence. And I'm not really alone to lament on this silence, about this silence. In his recent Walkley Awards address on the 27th of November 2025, Gary O'Brien, of previously ABC fame, he shared that there are almost no more Palestinian journalists around across Palestine, because most have been murdered by the IDF or by Israel's secret services. They were often killed in any of the hundreds of airstrikes Israel committed in places where lots of Palestinians had been expelled from. Two, basically, as presumably safe places, but they were expelled from previously presumed safe places to then be killed by deliberate bombing during the last 2 years. It's worth quoting O'Brien, Gary O'Brien, as his words were powerful and they should resonate more widely. And I quote him, "First things first. It would be remiss of me not to refer specifically to the appalling and outrageous casualty list of Palestinian journalists and other media workers in Israel's war on Gaza since 2 years ago. Having excluded independent global media access inside of Gaza, leaving us all to rely on local journalists to bear witness to the devastating effect of Israel's bombardment of the civilian population of Gaza and the famine that has accompanied that bombing. Israel has failed dismally to explain with any credibility why so many journalists have been killed," end of quote. And the figures, they sort of differ a little bit, but they all sort of average out at about 150 journalists and media people being killed in those 2 years. So given the situation and given the fact that our news media and our government, to their eternal shame, have now decided that Gaza and Palestine are not interesting anymore, with Trump's presumably Nobel Prize-worthy fake peace proclamation in Gaza, therewith effectively shutting down both media and government. To be truthful, media and government have really never paid much attention to what's really going on in Palestine, except some pious finger wagging from our foreign minister, which sort of then gets lost in the pandemonium of more exciting news as it being distilled by those who choose to select what's newsworthy. So apart from an ABC reprise of the 2025 BBC documentary by Louis Theroux on the Israeli settlers in the West Bank, which we will put on our programme page, it has become imperative to look at alternative information sources to remain aware of what's really going on. And indeed, part of our Borderlands and Think Again sources of information we have quite often shared with our listeners comes directly from Palestine. One of those being a Dutch anthropologist, Antoine, and I decided to not name him given the ways Israel deals with those who try to offer trustworthy news. Antoine has been living and working on the West Bank in Palestine for many, many years. He lives in Bethlehem with his Palestinian wife and daughter, and he sends regular newsletter blogs documenting the situation in the West Bank to his connections, particularly in Belgium and in Holland. West Bank, as he describes it, which is under continuing assaults from the IDF, the Israel Defense, so-called Defense Force, and of Israeli settlers, colonists. And that happens totally openly under the eyes of anyone who cares to look, including some Israeli journalists like Gideon Levi of Haaretz newspaper, who is probably the only truthful newspaper left in Israel, and a few remaining international observers from the United Nations, although there's very few of those left as well. So what I'm sharing with you is my translation, because he writes obviously in his mother tongue, which is Dutch, Antoine's, and he titles this particular blog West Bank Blues. God's Army is Arriving. So that's his most recent blog with news from Bethlehem. And I just read what he wrote in my translation. We look for something to distract our thoughts in Wadi Quilt on the way to Jericho, which used to be a fantastic excursion with, amongst other things, the St. George Convent in the desert. The last Bedouins living in that area are being chased away by young Israeli nationalistic colonists. The non-government organization Standing Together, which is a Jewish-Palestinian peace organization, tries to protect the Bedouins, but it feels like fighting a mountain. The olive harvest in Palestine used to be a festive family happening and a simple way of relaxing. Now it has become only safe in our urban garden to do such a thing. On the land, it has become different. Jewish colonists annoy, put fire to, or vandalize. Foreigners, which have come to help often with the harvest or to protect the Palestinians, sometimes not less than 32 foreigners in one village in the northwest bank, have been expelled from the country. I want to go to Sebastia, an archaeological site north of Nablus, with a hotel associated with the work of our daughter. For years we had wanted to go there and do some walking, as suggested in the Hiking Palestine book. It is a great starting point for at least 3 hikes, and of course also to visit Tel Sebastia, an old Roman city with pillars and archaeological layers testifying to the successive civilizations who have existed in this land. But Mary, my wife, warns me about the road to get there. Not long ago, someone was filmed there being knocked down by colonists whilst the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, was watching. Sebastia is, of course, also a spot eyed by the colonists, and not just colonists, but also the army itself, whose leadership, that has become ever more religious nationalistic in the last few years, as journalist Gideon Levi calls it, God's army. In summer 2025, Israel has identified 60 archaeological sites which are to be developed, mostly in the vicinity of Nablus, Sebastia being one of those. Sebastia is one of the largest archaeological operations in expropriation of the Jordan West Bank since 1967. 180 hectares have been aimed at being taken away from the Palestinian people who are now occupying and using it. The IDF leads an online campaign encouraging citizens and soldiers to visit archaeological sites in the West Bank, also in areas A and B, which are under Palestinian authority. The Beshvil Yehuda, or On the Path to Judea project on social media, encourages Israeli and international tourism to visit these settlements and campaigns for more inclusion into Israeli territory. My daughter, Antoine says, just told me how a loud group of celebrating colonists carrying weapons and occupying a new site nearby visited a convent, just asking for the keys as if they owned the place. Out of fear, the keys were handed over. During the last few years, about 120 new occupied colonist posts have been added. Small start-up settlements from colonists to gradually take over more land. So archaeology is one of the many instruments used by Israel to expropriate Palestinians, in addition to the presumed need for military firing ranges, ecological areas, and of course, to create safety for the illegal settlements. So again, that is where I will stop reading from Twans, an anthropologist, Dutch anthropologist who lived in the, has lived in Palestine, West Bank actually, for the last, well, more, almost 20 years. Just letting you catch your breath a little bit, dear listeners, about this personal story of a friend of mine, we'll have a music break. And Archie Roach always helps me with letting things settle. Cannot buy my soul.
For 200 years we've been beaten down, too long on the door. My dignity I'm losing here, mentally I'm on. There's a system here that nails us, and we're left out in the cold. Oh, they took our life and liberty, friends, but they could not buy our soul. Joe Hill died, Che Guevara fought, Pema Woy lay down dead. If a person speaks out critically here, they could get loaded down with lead. How long can the majority wait for their story to unfold? Oh, they took their life and liberty, friends, but they could not buy their soul. But the clever man spoke precisely, humanity said was done. The creed for greed could not proceed if our struggles to be won. For humanity is more important here than a constant quest for gold. Ah, you may take life and liberty, friends, but you cannot buy our soul. One morning, rode a donkey up through that gate. And he could see quite clearly he was going to meet his fate. And the powers that be could see that he could not be born or sold. Ah, they took his life and lived their friends, but they could not buy his soul.
You're listening to Think Again on 3CR Radio, 855 AM on your dial and streaming live at 3cr.org.au. Today I am on my own as our planned interview we had to cancel unexpectedly, so I decided to share with you all some of the meanwhile rather silenced news from Palestine, especially this time from the West Bank, from which Palestinians are systematically being expropriated, their lands being taken over by Israeli colonists. I've been reading before from a blog sent by Antoine, a Dutch anthropologist who have been living in Bethlehem for many years with his family and who sends me regular updates on what's really happening in that area, pretty much unreported about by our media and ignored by our government. And I just want to share with you another testimony by Atalia, who is an army refuser. He objected to military service in 2017, spending 110 days in jail for his efforts. He goes and helps local Palestinians with the olive harvest. So he, earlier this fall, he comments in a letter he sent out, "I was in Beita, a town well known in the West Bank and in the world for their struggle against settlement expansion as part of Zaytun 2025, and that connects Palestinian farmers to activists. As I picked olives, a massive group of masked men appeared. These were settlers, and they often cover their faces despite the army's willing participation in their terror. The sight of them is an image Palestinians and activists are very familiar with, the sign of a possible pogrom. Before I knew it, 8 cars had been burned, more than 20 people were hospitalized, and one was shot. The next day, a 13-year-old child from Beita, Aysam Mualla, fell into a coma after he inhaled tear gas fired by the Israeli military. 2 weeks ago, he died. The genocide may be declared over in Gaza by some, but we know that the violence has only expanded, albeit in a different form. The call is clear. We have no choice but to bring more people into protective presence work in the West Bank to protect local Palestinians, just as we did with war refusal by bringing it into mainstream over the last few years." In Haaretz, on the 23rd of October now, sort of shifting to Gideon Levi, the probably only very truthful journalist in Israel, publishing in Haaretz. And that particular article of his on the 25th of October, was reproduced in Pearls and Irritations. And he totally confirms Antoine's and Atalia's information. And I quote, "It is no longer possible to be a Palestinian in the West Bank. It was not destroyed as Gaza was. Tens of thousands of people did not die. But life there has become impossible. It is hard to see how Israel's iron grip can persist much longer without an explosion of violence, justifiable this time. Between 150,000 and 200,000 Palestinians from the West Bank who had worked in Israel have been unemployed for 2 years. The salaries of tens of thousands of employees of the Palestinian Authority were reduced significantly due to Israel's withholding tax revenue it collects from the Palestinian Authority. Poverty and hardship are everywhere. So are the roadblocks and checkpoints. Never before have there been so many, certainly not for such a prolonged period. There are hundreds of them now. Approximately 120 new settlement outposts, almost all of them violent, have been established since the accursed 7th of October 2023, comprising tens of thousands of acres, all with the support of the Israeli state. Not a week goes by without new outposts. Also unprecedented is the scope of the ethnic cleansing that is their goal. Hagar Shesaf, reported on Friday that in the course of the Gaza war, residents of 80 Palestinian villages in West Bank fled for their lives out of fear of the settlers who have usurped their lands. And Levi concludes, the West Bank is crying out for urgent international intervention, no less than the Strip of Gaza is. Soldiers, American, European, Emirati, or even Turkish, someone must protect their helpless residents. Someone must rescue them from the clutches of the IDF and the settlers. End of quote. But as I mentioned already at the beginning of our program, that support or that intervention or that defense would certainly not come from Australia. There's not a peep from Wong or Albo, who rather suggests that the Trump peace fakery needs to be allowed to work itself through. Meanwhile, we continue to export weapons parts to Israel as an accomplice to the genocide and the murders of journalists, as Melbourne-based Rose Bank Engineering is a case in point. They make uplock actuator systems. That means the critical parts opening the bomb bay doors of the F-35 fighter jets, and it is the only factory in the world that makes them. While we're told that there is a ceasefire, near daily attacks on Gaza have continued, killing at least 347 Palestinians, including 136 children, since the so-called ceasefire started. But of course, we don't send lethal weapons to Israel, as Piers Wong and indignant Albanese and our attack minister Miles, because you can't call him a defense minister, since he totally contributes to the attacking stance which the US and its allies have been taking recently. So when they are, Wong, Albanese or Miles, are being interrogated, they keep repeating indignantly that they are not sending lethal weapons to Israel. They, of course, don't consider the components necessary to have these lethal weapons rain down on Israelis. They don't include them in them being lethal. It's actually quite terrible. So trying to get ourselves together a little bit and think about what we're doing. Gary O'Brien concluded his speech, and I quote him again, "And if we think we're doing it tough, trying to cut through the shroud of institutional secrecy, or trying to call out those who would polarize our communities for grubby political ends, remind yourself of those journalists in Gaza, or Ukraine, or Russia, or China, or Myanmar, or Afghanistan, who've been shut down, or gone to prison, or gone to their graves for an ideal, for seeking to report the truth. We are all one community of journalists, and there's something powerful we can harness in that we should never lose sight of." And really, when you think about it, that's the place where 3CR, Think Again, and Borderlands find their true political and educational position and purpose, and we better not forget it. So, before leaving you today, I want to refer to a fantastic writer, Omar El Akkad, who lives in the United States, is born in Egypt, has lived in Qatar, Canada, and has been studying mostly in either Canada or the US. And his last book is absolutely something everyone should be buying. The title is absolutely spot on. One day, everyone will have always been against this, in which he really talks about all of our complicity with what is happening not only in Palestine, but in so many other places, past and present, and where we constantly deny that we have anything to do with. We may at best comment a little bit critically about what's happening, but for the rest we basically continue our lives as if we can't do anything about that. But at the same time, we contribute to the systems which really are the main cause and the main source of causing all the drama and all of the, well, the damage which they do, our nations do, our institutions do, our armies do, and our businesses do, also on our behalf. So it's really, I will actually write it, the reference onto our webpage, and it's an absolute must to read, to see how that writer sort of struggles constantly internally with the contradiction inside of him of participating willingly or unwillingly, but silently mostly, in the destruction and the killing of so many others. I want to finalize for today with a message from the Alevi Federation of Australia. We interviewed one of their representatives a couple of times last year, I think. And the year before. And they ask us at present to join them this Saturday, the 13th of December, at 12 o'clock at the Victorian Parliament House, to stand together against the genocide in Syria. And they call for an end to the ongoing massacres of minorities living in Syria. This is a peaceful solidarity gathering, so no flags, political or sectarian symbols are to be displayed, just your personal presence. And we will again put details on the website. It's probably also a good reminder of the fact that we keep calling the area of Israel, Syria and so on, the Middle East. It's nowhere in the East, if you think about it. It's an amalgam of places which belong to three different continents. And many of the people from there, they would actually rather prefer to be called geographically, to come from or to be in places where they really belong, like North Africa, West Asia, and Southeast Europe. If you just think about it, it's nothing to do with Middle East, which is a name of an area which dates back to the 1400s, 1500s, when Europeans were trying to conquer the world. Just leaving that with you as a sort of a thought for the next week. Thanks for listening to Think Again on 3CR Community Radio. Today, just me, boring Jacques Boulet. If you want to send us any comments about today's program, you can email Borderlands, borders@borderlands.org.au. And remember, our past programs are available by podcast on a variety of platforms and via the 3CR website at 3cr.org.au. And as per usual, please enjoy Milky Mana by King Stingray.
Man, I got no receipt to rise. I never lose touch. What kind of man do you think?